Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with co-author of the book, What is Marriage?, Ryan Anderson, all about the Supreme Court's decision on marriage. That's really what everybody's talking about this week. Also, Dan Burke is with us. He will talk with Adriana Gonzalez of Catholics Called to Witness about Catholic Witnesses in the Public Square. This is a parish group program designed to reawaken and strengthen your Christian voice in our very secular world. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
Howdy. Also, Dan Burke is here. He is executive director of the Register.
Great to be with you, Tom.
And you, my friend. Our first guest, Ryan Anderson, is a fellow at the Heritage Foundation, where he researches and writes about marriage and religious liberty. He is co-author with Robert George and Sharif Gerges of the book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense, that was published by Encounter Books in December of 2012. These three authors filed amicus briefs with the Ninth Circuit Court on the appeal of Perry versus Schwarzenegger. That was the case reviewing the constitutionality of California's Proposition 8. Also with the First Circuit Court on the challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. In January of this year, these co-authors filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court after it agreed to hear the cases. So, Ryan is very qualified to talk with us today about the Supreme Court's decision this week to overturn part of DOMA and also dismiss the Prop 8 case on standing issues, which, in effect, actually overturns the ban on same-sex marriage in California. Ryan, welcome to Register Radio.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be with you.
Ryan, you've been in high demand this week as a commentator on the Supreme Court's decision. Your work has appeared on CNN, New York Times, Fox News, First Things, and of course, your work can be found on the Heritage Foundation's website, heritage.org. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with the Register today.
Oh, sure. Happy to be with you.
Now, on June 26th, the Register ran the headline, Supreme Court Overturns Part of DOMA, Dismisses Prop 8 Case. You know, many have celebrated this as a victory for same-sex marriage. One of your pieces, though, was titled Mixed Results for Marriage. I think it may be tempting for traditional marriage advocates to throw up their hands and think the battle is lost. So first, I think it's important that we talk about what the court did rule and what it didn't rule. So could you tell us what the court ruled June 26th?
Sure. And let me start with what it didn't rule, because the underreported fact from this week's ruling is that the court did not give Ted Olson and David Boies, the lawyers who were suing to overturn Prop 8, what they wanted. Mm-hmm. The court refused to redefine marriage for the entire nation. The court refused to discover a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Citizens and their elected representatives remain free to discuss, to debate, and to vote about marriage policy in all 50 states, including California. Citizens and their elected representatives still have the right to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And the reason I said including California is that the Supreme Court didn't strike down Prop 8. What the Supreme Court said was that the citizen group who went to the ballot box to put Prop 8 on the ballot and then voted for Prop 8, over 7 million Californians, that they didn't have standing to defend their law. Their governor and their attorney general refused to perform their duty to defend that law, and the court said, we're sorry, you don't have standing. But the court didn't say that the law is unconstitutional. So as a result, that law is still good law in California, although the parties to the lawsuit won their lawsuit. So it was one gay couple, one lesbian couple. We can expect to see more litigation over what happens. The governor has promised that he's going to start issuing marriage licenses throughout California. But some legal scholars have said that he would be acting in defiance to state law if he were to do so, because Prop 8 is still on the books. Right. With the Defense of Marriage Act decision, the Supreme Court said that the federal government has to accept the redefinition of marriage when the states redefine marriage. And on this, it misunderstands how federalism works. In our regime, the states are sovereign to define marriage for state purposes and state policy by state law. Likewise, the federal government has authority to define marriage for federal policies in federal law. And the court here said that the federal government has to accept whatever the states say. But this just turns federalism on its head. The state can't impose on the federal government any more than the federal government should be able to impose on the states.
So for the 38 states that preserve the longstanding definition of marriage as between a man and a woman, how does this ruling affect those 38 states?
Right now, it doesn't touch their laws at all.
Okay.
But the reason I say right now is that we shouldn't fool ourselves. The logic behind Justice Kennedy's majority opinion striking down DOMA is that the only reason the federal government wanted to have the definition of marriage as a man and a woman is because it wanted to discriminate against gays and lesbians. Justice Kennedy, in that opinion, seems to suggest that the rationale behind marriage laws that define marriage as a man and a woman is animus. So if we do get a ruling on one of those 38 states' marriage laws, there could be a likely decision that would strike them down. So we have to redouble our efforts to help Justice Kennedy understand the rational basis to these laws. We have to help explain what marriage is and why marriage matters, and why marriage, why the citizens in the 38 states who have defined marriage as the union of a man and a woman have done so for good reasons. That
sure.
This is the only type of relationship that can produce a child. This is the only type of relationship that can provide that child with a mother and a father. And we know that when children aren't raised by a married biological mother and father, their outcomes in life are not nearly as promising as when they are raised by their married mother and father. So the state has an interest, a social justice interest, in wanting to ensure that every child has their birthright protected, their birthright to a mom and a dad.
Now, it seems that the gay lobby is really touting this as a huge victory for them. Yet it seems to me that this really raises many more questions than it answers. A couple who is married in one state that has legalized same-sex marriage, if they move, the question is, are they still married in the state that they move to that does not recognize same-sex marriage? That's just one of the questions. Does this raise more questions than answers?
Yes. Especially for what does this mean as far as federal law goes? You know, which state law does the federal government have to accept? If Alabama defines marriage, a man and a woman, and Massachusetts defines marriage as any consenting adult loving relationship, if a couple goes for a vacation to Massachusetts, gets gay married, and then moves back to Alabama, whose law does the federal government recognize, Alabama or Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
We think that a prop runner thing that should be the law where the couple resides. It's where the couple lives that their state law should control in these situations. To avoid these tricky situations was one of the reasons why the federal government said we have to have our own definition of marriage. We're going to leave the 50 states free to define marriage how they want, but we also have to have a definition of marriage because otherwise we'll run into these sorts of problems just like the ones you just suggested.
Sure. So that was
true with immigration policy. So think about this. Does an immigrant, potential immigrant family that's moving to Alabama or moving to Massachusetts, are there two different marriage laws for immigration policy based upon where the couple is moving towards? It just seems that we should have consistent federal policy, and that's what DOMA tried to establish, and the court said no.
Right. This is Jeanette DiMello with Register Radio. I'm talking with Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation about the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage. Now, Ryan, you filed an amicus brief with the court along with Sharif Girgis and Robert George, the co-authors of the book What is Marriage, Man and Woman, a Defense. What did you say in this amicus brief to the court?
Sure. The amicus brief follows very closely from the book. And the book was based on a law review article that we published in the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy. Sharif, Robbie, and I, we all met at Princeton. Sharif and I were classmates. Robbie was one of our professors. He's a constitutional law and philosophy professor at Princeton. And we make an argument that's based on public reason, based on philosophy, based on social science. It's not that we reject the revealed truth about marriage. It's that we think that in addition to revelation, we need to have reason. We need to have both faith and reason helping us think through what marriage is. So we do the rational side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And we explain what marriage is as a union not just of hearts and minds, not just an emotional union, but also a union of bodies. So it's a comprehensive union that unites spouses at all levels of their beings, hearts, minds, and bodies. And so it unites a man and the woman in the type of action, the type of union that 9 months later requires a name. 9 months later, it gives birth to a child. And so it has in its kind of intrinsic intelligibility a fruitfulness to that union, that the act that unites a man and a woman is the same exact act that creates new life. And government has an interest in that act and in that relationship, not because it cares about love or romance. Government's not in the romance business. If marriage was just about romance, we could take the government out of the bedroom. The reason government's in the marriage business is because that new life, that child, needs a mother and a father. And by promoting marriage as an ideal, the state, in a non-coercive, non-intrusive way, makes sure that children have a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because when this doesn't happen, social costs run high. The outcomes for children are less good when they're not raised by a married mother and father. The outcomes for the community are not as good. It's when our welfare state explodes. It's when the crime rises, prison population rises, child poverty increases, social mobility decreases. So again, everything you could care about, if you care about both social justice and
right.
limited government, if you care about the poor and you care about liberty, is better served by a healthy marriage culture. But
right.
none of that is true with the same-sex relationship or other consenting adult romantic relationships.
We have very, very short amount of time left, and I want to make sure that people know where to find more information. They can go to ncregister.com. They can also go to the Heritage Foundation's website, heritage.org, in order to find out more, because it sounds to me like we have a lot of defending to do in the coming months and years.
Yes, that's exactly right. We also have a website for the book. The web address is very simple. It's just whatismarriagebook.com. And we've compiled articles that we've written, short op-eds and essays. We have reviews of the books. We have video clips from TV news and from lectures that we've given at law schools and on college campuses. So a lot of resources at whatismarriagebook.com.
Thank you very much, Ryan, for being with us today.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
My thanks as well, Ryan. Stay with us now. When we return, we're going to talk about something we really need lots more of, and that is Catholic witnesses in the public square. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest is Adriana Gonzalez. She is the co-founder and vice president of Catholics Called to Witness and Catholic Witnesses. Also, the Florida State Coordinator of ParentalRights.org, and she is the wife of Dr. Manny Gonzalez and mother of their seven children. They are the makers of the award-winning viral video. You may have seen this, Test of Fire. It is awesome. Also, a new documentary series based on religious liberty produced for Catholic Witnesses in the Public Square. That is a parish group project based on the four pillars of prayer, education, fellowship, and action. We're very excited to have you with us today, Adriana, on Register Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Adriana, it's great to have you on the show today. I'm excited about getting the word out about this program where you are working to help Catholics by informing them and inspiring them in groups, in parishes, to get out and live their faith in this critical time. We just heard an important broadcast about the Supreme Court decision with DOMA. We really are faced with constant assaults to religious liberty, constant challenges to the fundamental beliefs and values that we hold so dear and even that our great country was founded on. Tell us about the inspiration behind Catholic Witnesses in the Public Square and this new project.
Yes, thank you, Jan. We are very excited about this project as well. And, you know, for us in our hearts, it's more than a project. It's really something that we feel so deeply. We know that the church is an evangelistic, that's who we are. We are outward focused. We are inward focused. We drink deeply of, you know, the Lord, the church, everything that we receive. But then we are outward focused. And when we're not, when we're lacking in either one, then we're not being fully church. So what we're called to, what we have realized here, us personally, is that we have a strong desire to say, you know, we need to go to the Lord to really to receive deeply from the sacraments, from everything that the church offers, and that intimacy with Christ. And then we go out and we are powerful witnesses, and we stand up for what is right and what is true. We defend those who need defending, and we are the hands and the feet of Christ on earth. That's really the essence and the inspiration of this project.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're with Adriana Gonzalez talking about the great parish program, Catholic Witnesses in the Public Square. Well, that was a great overview, Adriana. Now, why don't we talk about the four pillars and each of the components of the program that folks can dig into?
Sure. The program is based on the four pillars, as was mentioned, of prayer, education, fellowship, and action. And these are very basic, just basic principles of our Christian life and our Christian witness to the world. And obviously prayer is the first and foremost central and continuously ongoing pillar. I mean, prayer without prayer and that deepening relationship with Christ, we really have nothing to offer. So that is really the central pillar. And within the prayer, we recognize very much that we want not just to go and stand for truth, but we want to be sent by Christ. And so we want to be empowered, filled with His Holy Spirit. And He opens doors for us in that way as well. So we really, the prayer pillar is just absolutely indispensable. And in the program, we do provide ideas, suggestions, and scripture reflections that really are meant to guide groups into prayer, into deeper prayer. And then we have the education pillar, and that pillar is an ongoing effort. We do a monthly release of a video, this ongoing documentary, and we have our focus on these non-negotiable issues, religious liberty obviously being one of them, and the ones that Pope Benedict mentioned of life and marriage and the liberty of parents to educate their children. And so we have this focus on the education pillar. We release a monthly video. But in addition to that, we really want to focus on this aspect of prayer. And so one of our next release will be on the subject of prayer. And Dan Burke, as you know, you know it intimately because you share on that video your heartfelt, just passion for the Lord and a call to prayer, to deeper prayer.
Well, Adriana, you have a cast of characters from EWTN in this program. Tell our listeners who else is going to be working with you on each of these videos.
Yes, absolutely. Our last release featured Michael Warsaw, Gloria Purvis, who is has a show on EWTN. We also have Dean Millhiser, who is the president of Ave Maria School of Law, and Father Orsi, also from the Ave Maria School of Law. And so they were on the last release, which featured, which was all about religious liberty and specifically the HHS mandate and how that is really a binding to the church and to our witness.
Adriana, this is Tom Price here. I wonder if you could talk for just a moment here about that award-winning viral video that we mentioned in the intro, Test of Fire. I mean, that really took a lot of people by surprise, and it was so, so well done.
Oh, sure. Thank you. You know, it took us by surprise, too, to be honest with you. We had a passion, and we had a message. And the clear message that we had was inspired by Pope Benedict, Pope Emeritus Benedict.
Yeah.
And it was just the simplicity of the non-negotiables, that there are many things that are very, very important, but there are some that are absolutely non-negotiable, and that we must, when we look at voting specifically,
yeah,
and we look at legislation, we have to be aware that some things, we have to hurdle them first. In
yeah,
other words, we have to make sure that they are right first.
As a baseline.
As a baseline,
yeah,
that's right. And that's not to negate the importance of so many other issues that we are called to address, but that there are some that are not negotiable. And so we just went ahead, and somebody suggested that we make a video, and very simply, you know, we contacted really the only videographer that we knew at the time,
uh-huh,
and he loved the project. He ran with it and produced this marvelous video that we were just thrilled with, and
sure,
we had an unexpected, you know, response. It went viral. Has, I think, you know, maybe well over 2 million hits on it.
Awesome.
So
that's amazing. This is Dan Burke with Adriana Gonzalez of Catholic Witnesses in the Public Square, and we're talking about the church program designed to inspire, encourage, equip Catholics to live out their faith in the public square. And we just got done rehashing a bit of this wonderful video that you made last year, which I think, Adriana, inspired and encouraged you to build this parish program, did it not?
It did, absolutely. It did, because we realized, well, how important the church witness is and how powerful it can be, really. We have a message, and we have a world that is waiting to hear our message, even if they don't know it. But we do, and we have a charge and a responsibility and a mandate to be witnesses and to send out the message of the gospel to the world.
All right, Adriana, let's get really practical here.
Okay.
How do folks get involved in this program? So if they feel inept with respect to their own engagement with their faith in the culture, or they feel discouraged, or they feel like, you know, they don't know anybody else. So tell me the first steps of someone in any of these positions who really wants to make a difference. What can they take? How will you help them?
Yes, absolutely. Well, specifically with our project, which I recognize is just one of many possibilities, but specifically our project, I would recommend for people to go on our website, which is catholicwitnesses.org, and to sign up for the newsletter, which is, you can do it right there on the homepage. That will keep you abreast of what we're doing and the monthly releases and so on and so forth. We also hold webinars that are very instructional on this program. And to go and read about our program, email us if you would like to get more, you know, one-on-one help or guidance or assistance. And also to prayerfully seek out a team in your parish, a group in your parish, because guaranteed there, even if you feel alone, there are other people in your parish who are feeling like you and want to make a difference and want to do something. So there's so much power in unity that I would say seek those people out prayerfully and then, you know, join together. Reach out to us, and we will do our best to help you launch something in your parish.
And you'll do that through videos, through study guides, and
absolutely,
all of the things that everyone can find at Catholic Witnesses, and that's plural, catholicwitnesses.org. Adriana, we're so grateful for your passion for the church and for the work that you and Manny and others are doing to help us to understand how to live out our faith. God bless you, and I pray that you will be overwhelmed with people interested in participating in this program.
Thank you so much, both. God bless you.
Adriana, I just have to say, as the parents of seven children, I am just absolutely astounded that you can pull all this off, and my admiration for all that you're doing. So God bless you.
Thank you so much. My house is messy.
That's okay. That's okay. You've got your priorities set. Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.